This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of Osgood-Schlatter's disease, a.k.a. tibial tubercle apophysitis, on the knee and sports section on orthobullets.com. Osgood-Schlatter's disease is osteochondrosis or traction apophysitis of the tibial tubercle. Again, Osgood-Schlatter's disease, otherwise known as tibial tubercle apophysitis, is osteochondrosis or traction apophysitis of the tibial tubercle. With respect to the epidemiology, as far as the demographics of Osgood-Schlatter's disease, this condition is more common in boys. With respect to the age bracket, boys 12 to 15 are affected and girls 8 to 12 are affected. With respect to location, it tends to be bilateral in 20 to 30% of patients. Risk factors include jumpers, for example, in sports like basketball and volleyball, or in sprinters. With respect to the pathophysiology of Osgood-Schlatter's disease, it's related to stress from the extensor mechanism. With respect to prognosis, Osgood-Schlatter's disease is self-limiting but does not resolve until growth has halted. Now, let's go over some relevant anatomy. The tibial tubercle is the secondary ossification center. At age less than 11 years old, the tubercle is cartilaginous. From ages 11 to 14 years old, the apophysis forms. Again, between age 11 to 14, the apophysis forms. Between age 14 to 18, the apophysis fuses with the tibial epiphysis. And finally, at age over 18 years old, the epiphysis and apophysis is fused to the rest of the tibia. Again, at ages greater than 18 years old, the epiphysis and apophysis is fused to the rest of the tibia. With respect to the presentation of Osgood-Schlatter's disease, patients typically have symptoms of pain on the anterior aspect of the knee that is exacerbated by kneeling. Physical exam should include inspection and certain provocative tests. Inspection may reveal an enlarged tibial tubercle as well as tenderness over the tibial tubercle. With respect to provocative tests, this typically includes pain on resisted knee extension. Again, provocative tests to evaluate Osgood-Schlatter's disease may reveal pain on resisted knee extension. With respect to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a lateral radiograph of the knee, which may reveal findings of irregularity and fragmentation of the tibial tubercle. An MRI is typically not indicated as it is not essential for the diagnosis. Keep in mind that diagnosis can be made on history, presence of tender swelling, and radiographs alone. However, if an MRI is obtained, findings may include soft tissue swelling, thickening and edema of the inferior patellar tendon, and fragmentation as well as irregularity of the ossification center. The differential for Osgood-Schlatter's disease includes Sinding-Larsson-Johansson syndrome, osteochondroma of the proximal tibia, tibial tubercle fracture, and jumper's knee. Sinding-Larsson-Johansson syndrome is a chronic apophysitis or minor avulsion injury of the inferior patellar pole. This occurs in children 10 to 14 years old, especially children with cerebral palsy. The treatment of Osgood-Schlatter's disease can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes NSAIDs, rest, ice, activity modification, strapping / sleeves to decrease tension on the apophysitis, and quadriceps stretching. This is typically indicated as the first line of treatment, and with respect to outcomes, 90% of patients have complete resolution. Another non-operative option is cast immobilization for 6 weeks. This is indicated for severe symptoms not responding to simple conservative management that we just described. Operative options include ossical excision. This is typically indicated in refractory cases, which can be seen in 10% of patients, and it's also indicated in skeletally mature patients with persistent symptoms. As far as complications, the major complication to be aware of in the setting of Osgood-Schlatter's disease is complications of cast immobilization, specifically quadriceps wasting. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, an 18-year-old male presents with ongoing knee pain that limits his ability to participate in athletics. He was diagnosed with Osgood-Schlatter's disease at the age of 13 and has symptoms since that time despite periods of rest and use of NSAIDs, ice, and strapping for activities. A radiograph of his knee shows a skeletally mature patient with radiographic evidence of Osgood-Schlatter's disease. Which of the following is true regarding surgical treatment of his knee? And the choices are 1. Surgery for Osgood-Schlatter's disease is never indicated. 2. Prednisolone injection should be attempted prior to considering surgical intervention. 3. Surgical treatment must include hamstring lengthening for optimal outcome. 4. Ostial excision and tubercleplasty will improve symptoms, but return to sport is unlikely. And 5. Ostial excision and tubercleplasty will relieve symptoms and return to sport is expected. The correct answer to this question is 5. Ostial excision and tubercleplasty will relieve symptoms and return to sport is expected. Osgood-Schlatter disease should be considered for surgical treatment if severe symptoms continue despite non-operative treatments and the patient is skeletally mature. While not a commonly needed procedure, ostial excision with tubercleplasty has been shown to provide relief of symptoms and return to full activities in most patients. To quickly review, Osgood-Schlatter's disease is a traction apophysitis of the tibial tubercle, believed to be secondary to the repetitive pull of the patellar tendon. The mainstay of treatment for Osgood-Schlatter's disease is non-operative treatment with rest, ice, anti-inflammatories, activity modification, and physical therapy. Symptoms typically resolve when the apophysis closes at skeletal maturity. Indications for surgery are persistent symptoms, that is pain, localized to the tibial tubercle that limit activities, have failed non-operative treatment, and persist into skeletal maturity. Surgery usually consists of ostial resection with or without tubercleplasty, which is resection of the tubercle prominence, and this has been shown to be effective at relieving symptoms. Pilajamaki et al. Reviewed 178 patients, which were all military recruits, who had surgically treated Osgood-Schlatter's disease for persistent symptoms. They performed ostial excision and tubercleplasty. They report that at 10-year follow-up, 85% of patients reported no pain at the operative site, and 75% had returned to full preoperative activity level. Mittal et al. Present a review of 16 knees that underwent ostial resection and tubercleplasty for persistent Osgood-Schlatter's disease. They report only one patient did not return to their sport. They recommend combining the ostial excision with tubercleplasty for best results. And moving on to the final question, a 13-year-old male patient presents with complaints of bilateral knee pain. He notes that the pain is increased with jumping, squatting, or running up a flight of stairs. No other joints are affected. On physical exam, he has tenderness to palpation directly over his tibial tubercles. No fusion is noted. Lateral radiographs reveal fragmentation of the tibial tubercle. What is the most likely diagnosis? And the choices are 1. Lyme disease, 2. Stress fractures of the tibial plateau, 3. Osgood-Schlatter disease, 4. Patellar tendinopathy, and 5. Sinding-Larsen-Johansson syndrome. The correct answer to this question is 3. Osgood-Schlatter disease. And if you have good situational awareness and know that we are doing review questions related to Osgood-Schlatter disease, then you should have gotten this question correct. But based on the history and clinical findings, the most likely diagnosis is Osgood-Schlatter disease. So based on the history and clinical findings, the most likely diagnosis is Osgood-Schlatter disease. Osgood-Schlatter disease is a traction apophysitis of the tibial tubercle that commonly affects males between the ages of 12 to 15. Bilateral involvement is found in 20 to 30% of patients. The condition responds well to conservative measures, including anti-inflammatories, resting, strapping of the tibial tubercle, and quadriceps stretching. 90% of patients will have complete recovery with these measures. Frank et al. Review lower extremity injuries that can affect young athletes. Osgood-Schlatter disease develops as the knee is repetitively flexed and extended. Males are often more affected and complain of swelling, pain, and tibial tubercle tenderness. Management involves activity modification, quadriceps stretching, and strengthening. Symptoms are predominantly self-limited. Glove et al. Review the epidemiology, pathophysiology, and management of Osgood-Schlatter disease. They note that the condition commonly affects growing children who are involved with jumping-type activities. The majority of patients respond well to non-operative management. That's all for this review about Osgood-Schlatter's disease, otherwise known as tibial tubercle apophysitis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.